BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on a very critical program, Crosstalk. As we're going to delve into a number of issues here today on the program, before I introduce our guests, though, I just want to mention this. A couple of hours ago on our network, we aired the full Trump speech, President Trump's speech that he gave yesterday with his concern. He said, I believe this is the greatest speech I've ever given. It has the greatest importance to it. And we have just posted it to our website at vcyamerica.org. If you'd like to go back at your leisure to listen to that, you'll find it at vcyamerica.org. Much he had to say regarding the voter fraud taking place here in many states across the nation with many examples and numbers and information. Check it out at vcyamerica.org. As you know, folks, so much is unfolding in a short period of time. I mean, we've got a contested election with allegations of catastrophic voter fraud in many states, COVID shutdowns of immense proportions, vaccination ID cards that have been proclaimed and being pushed, former Vice President Biden rushing to pursue a globalist agenda, and a call for what is known as a Great Reset. Well, friends, joining us today to tie so many of these things together, we welcome back Gary Kah. Gary is the founder and director of Hope for the World. He is a former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the state of Indiana. He was invited to join the World Constitution and Parliament Association. That's one of the organizations involved at the forefront of promoting world government. And he obtained much information in that position. He has been an avid researcher. He's an author. And Gary, so good to have you back with us here today on Crosstalk.
Jim, it's always good to be with you. It's my pleasure.
You spoke at a number of venues for VCY in October, and then we aired this on Crosstalk just before the election. It was called A Nation at War, The Globalist Conditioning of America, and it was astounding information that you had, Gary. And I know you've been accused of being a conspiracy theorist. You wear a tinfoil hat, but some of the very things you warned about, Gary, we are seeing portrayed on our nightly news. I mean, we've got a variety of topics we're going to address today, but let me just kind of turn the floor over to you to give your analysis of what's transpiring here. We see this 2020 election and all that's unfolded, the contesting of the ballots and so forth. Just so back up to your November 3rd and lay out some of your thoughts for us.
Yeah, well, first I would say, you know, those of us who are researchers, we've been aware of this agenda for decades now. It goes way back. And just like the old example of a frog in a kettle, and you turn up the water hotter and hotter little by little, and it cooks the frog to death. And that's kind of what's been happening here. We're seeing this now front and center. It's come out, but it's been lurking in the shadows for years. Gradually, all this organization has been pulled together, and these forces feel they're ready now. But what happened was Trump came in, and he began to undo their plans, and they cannot allow that. So they're pulling out all the stops, doing everything they can to put a stop to not only Donald Trump, but some of his closest advisors and everyone around him who's trying to get this information out. So it's a real battle. I mean, we are in, as I wrote in one of my articles, we're in a war. Bullets haven't been directly fired thus far, but make no mistake, it's a war. I mean, our country is at stake right now. Since we last talked, Jim, I mean, so much has happened. Of course, the election was so strange. You were probably watching the results come in as Audrey and I were that night, and all of a sudden when Arizona was called, everything miraculously came to a halt. It's as if all the states uniformly decided we're not going to pass on any more results and we'll continue the counting in the morning, and then all of a sudden everything shifted and started coming in for Biden by the hundreds of thousands. And maybe the biggest example that I have, that I've seen of just ridiculous numbers that are not possible, was presented by General Michael Flynn just a couple days ago. He said in Pennsylvania, 700,000 more ballots were returned than were mailed out.
Wow.
I mean, that is so over-the-top ridiculous. How can anybody even say that there wasn't voter fraud? You know, and that's just one of many examples. But that one you can't even argue with. And yet we've got people in our own Justice Department and CIA and everywhere else trying to suppress this. And again, this didn't happen overnight. These people have taken key positions of power over a period of decades. And some of them have been in for 30 or 40 years. Another example I'll give you that shows how big this issue is, the problem that we face, whatever you want to call it. I believe the last numbers I saw was that in Washington, D.C., only 5.5% of voters voted for Donald Trump, and 94.5% went for Biden. Now, if those numbers are anywhere close to accurate, that tells you the problem we have right now. We've got a government that is out of control, that is not with the people, but is against the people. And so it's important that everyone is well-informed right now, that we take a stand in every way we can, and we will talk about that a little bit later in the program, hopefully. But that's an overview of my take on the situation right now.
Well, Gary, and with that, with this taking down of President Trump, there is also a hate campaign that's underway and a vilification that has just reached a magnitude that's just unbelievable. I mean, we've got rising threats against Trump supporters. There are those who are blacklisting anybody that's associated with him, any connection to him, to keep them from speaking on certain university campuses. We can't have jobs with them. And now we have ZeroHedge.com reporting the Daily Beast editor-at-large Rick Wilson has added his own call for humiliation, incarceration, even ritualistic suicides for Trump supporters in what they called an unhinged, vulgar column. This is way off the charts. It says vilification.
Yeah. Yeah, unbelievable. And a lot of the blame for this can rest with the media. They've really hyped this up with their propaganda. I mean, from even before President Trump took office. But the last figure I saw was that over the last year, 93% of all major media coverage of the major networks has gone against Trump. If you take Fox out of the picture, you know, it'd be way higher than that. But even Fox, there are some people there now who aren't really all that conservative anymore, as we know. And so the globalists are relentless. They get their people in every way they can in every network, and sometimes they'll come in like sheep, and then over time they begin to show their true colors. And not that President Trump is perfect by any means, and we all know that. But, man, he has taken a strong stand for our national sovereignty and has done everything he can to hold the tide back on these globalists. And I personally believe, Jim, that maybe one of the main reasons why God allowed for President Trump to win the first round and become our president was in order to draw all of this to the surface. The left hate him so much, the globalists hate him so much that they couldn't help themselves. They just began to spew out. And for the first time, the public should realize where we're really at as a country. Whereas a few years ago, you know, it was people like you and me and a few others that were sounding the alarm, but people just went about their daily lives like nothing was happening. But now they more and more are realizing our backs are to the wall and something has to happen fast. And hopefully people will look up to the Lord.
Amen.
and really step up their prayers. And that's what we all ought to be doing at this point in time, because anything good that happens from here on out, it's got to come with the favor of the Lord attached to it. I mean, we need a supernatural miracle at this point for things to significantly change.
So let's hit this issue of globalism. I saw an article on Breitbart yesterday indicating that former Vice President Joe Biden, he spoke with the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, on Tuesday of this week, promising a strengthened partnership on a host of issues from coronavirus to climate. He said he's looking forward to a new era of cooperation. And then also we have the European leader. We have this 27-member bloc Executive European Commission Wednesday, that would be just yesterday, unveiled proposals aimed at strengthening this transatlantic partnership under a projected Biden administration, underlying its priorities involving climate change, U.S. return to the World Health Organization, a return to the Iran nuclear deal. That's another issue there, Gary. But it's interesting, they're taking a line from President Trump, his Make America Great Again, and now they're changing it to Make Multilateralism Great Again. Let's talk about the globalism aspect and angle to all of this.
Well, in a nutshell, everything that President Trump attempted to do in order to push back the one world agenda will be undone by Biden if he gets in. And he's already basically said as much. I can guarantee you there will be not one non-globalist in the Biden administration. They will all be one-worlders, every single one of them. And so with that type of a lineup, they're going to work feverishly and move quickly to implement global ideals, many of them coming out of Europe, especially France and Germany right now. Italy more and more is moving in that direction. And so, you know, you've got a core group of globalists in Europe and in the bigger cities of the United States. One trend I began noticing about 15 years ago or so is that globalists in the U.S., powerful globalists, realized that most of the big cities in the U.S. have become run by Democratic mayors, who most of the time are also globalists. And so they began to harness that power with mayoral associations and regular meetings that are held among the mayors. And so they're flexing their muscles as well. And so this didn't happen overnight either. You know, it's no coincidence that the mayors of Minneapolis, Seattle, and San Francisco, Portland, you know, so many other cities are acting in unison on a lot of what they are doing. Many of them have become socialists. They have a globalist agenda, and they realize that the U.S. has to be diminished in order for us to be merged into a global system of government, which they believe is the only hope for the world. I mean, that's where they're coming from. They've duped themselves into believing that. And so the big three crises that they are going to use, and there will be some smaller ones too, but the big three that they're going to use as a platform to try to make all of this happen are COVID, the climate change issue, and global debt, which is through the roof now. $277 trillion of global debt by the end of this year is the estimate, which is that represents a debt-to-GDP ratio of about 365%. It's off the charts. And they want this. They want this. They want a crisis in all of these areas. Where there isn't one, they'll create it or make it look worse in order to fan the flames and throw the public into a panic so that they think, wow, the only way out of all of this is if we take a vaccine and if we go into a world government that can solve the environmental crisis and protect all of us from each other and bring in a new global economy starting from scratch to get rid of all the debt. And so that's where it's going. And that's, by the way, what the reset just happens to be about.
Gary Carr is our guest here today. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back from this break, we're going to delve further into what Gary just said. We're going to expose more of this global reset, this great reset agenda. As a matter of fact, we have Joe Biden's presidency. John Kerry is saying would advance this great reset agenda with greater speed and greater intensity than many might imagine. We're going to come back and talk about this great reset after the break. Don't go away. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is there any evidence for Atlantis?
Chris, Atlantis was the mythical city which was submerged under the ocean. People living in the city adapted and finally evolved the ability to live underwater. Of course, this myth has no basis in fact. Humans could not live underwater, even if they swam in the water for generations. Nor have archaeological remains of such a mythical city ever been found. But there may be some basis in fact. The Bible says that there was a great civilization which was totally overwhelmed by water. This was, of course, the great flood of Noah's day. I wonder if the legend of Atlantis is really a faded memory of the flood. Even more interesting is that almost every culture around the world has the legend of the flood. I think all of this goes back to Genesis for truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, Globalist Eye, Fast-Moving Agenda. Gary Kha is our guest from Hope for the World. We'll be giving you his website address, so be ready to jot that down. Gary, if indeed Joe Biden becomes president of the United States, he has tapped John Kerry to be his climate czar. And at a World Economic Forum panel, Kerry said this, that the notion of a reset is more important than ever before. He said, I personally believe we're at the dawn of an extremely exciting time, indicating that Biden is ready to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord that would help drive the Great Reset. He said a Joe Biden presidency would quickly advance the globalist Great Reset agenda with greater speed and greater intensity than many might imagine. Comment on this.
Well, for once, John Kerry spoke the truth. Everything he said there, he's basically telling us what they're going to do, and that's really where they're at, what they're wanting to do. And so we're at a crossroads as a nation. You know, if we want to remain a constitutional republic, this can't go forward much beyond where it is right now, because they want to take away our sovereignty and make all the big decisions at the global level and move us towards socialism. It might be good to have a definition here of the Great Reset, and I'm writing on that right now for our upcoming publication. The Great Reset talk about it has been around for about a year or so behind the scenes in World Economic Forum circles, but really it began going public in June when Klaus Schwab, the founder and head of the World Economic Forum, began to write and speak about it and call for this Great Reset. The Great Reset is linked to the pandemic as an opportunity to embrace global interdependence. They want to really ride on the back of this this COVID hype. Essentially, though, the Great Reset is an economic, social, political restructuring that rejects nationalism in favor of global government, green economics, and a new social contract built around collective ideals, and collective should be read Marxist-oriented ideals. That's really what it is.
This is a total overhaul, what you're talking.
It's a completely different worldview that wants to move us in a direction that has not been ordained of God. You know, if you go back to the building of the Tower of Babel and you look at what happened, God intervened because we would have had the first known world government at that point in time, and God realized that would be very dangerous for the people, and you'd have a global dictatorship. So what did he do? He intervened and scattered the people, causing them to speak different languages. And I've actually seen written in some of these organizations where they said their goal was to get us back to the situation existing at the Tower of Babel, believe it or not.
Wow.
And so there's a very strong spiritual, religious thrust behind this as well. And that's really ultimately what it's all about. You've got the Judeo-Christian ethic on the one hand that is largely nationalistic and working, politically speaking, in that way. And then you have a more pantheistic and atheistic cooperation going on worldwide, spiritually speaking, that wants to take the world into a one-world government system with a global leader who is enlightened, one who is heavily involved in the occult, Eastern mysticism, what have you. And in some of these circles, they are quite open about that, but they are not stupid, and so publicly you're not going to hear any of this through the mass media.
Gary, tell us more about this Great Reset.
All right. I have a few quotes here. One came across my desk, and I mean, it's been crazy here. We're getting things coming in from researchers around the world, and we can barely stay on top of it all. But this one caught my eye. This is a letter, and maybe you've seen this. It was a letter written 1 week, about a week before the election on October 25th, an open letter to the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, coming from Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. And this is a Catholic gentleman, but who has become very concerned politically because of what he has personally seen. And so I would like to share about four or five paragraphs of excerpts, because this is really amazing, and it's quite revealing. He writes to President Trump. He says, "A global plan called the Great Reset is underway. Its architect is a global elite that wants to subdue all of humanity, imposing coercive measures with which to drastically limit individual freedoms and those of entire populations. In several nations, this plan has already been approved and financed. In others, it is still in an early stage. Behind the world leaders who are the accomplices and executors of this infernal project, there are unscrupulous characters who finance the World Economic Forum and Event 201, promoting their agenda. The purpose of the Great Reset is the imposition of a health dictatorship aiming at the imposition of liberticidal measures hidden behind tempting promises of ensuring a universal income and canceling individual debt. The price of these concessions from the International Monetary Fund will be the renunciation of private property and adherence to a program of vaccination against COVID-19 and COVID-21 promoted by Bill Gates with the collaboration of the main pharmaceutical groups. Beyond the enormous economic interests that motivate the promoters of the Great Reset, the imposition of the vaccine will be accompanied by the requirement of a health passport and a digital ID, with the consequent contact tracing of the population of the entire world. Those who do not accept these measures will be confined in detention camps or placed under house arrest, and all their assets will be confiscated." Just two more paragraphs, bear with me. "Around you," talking to the president, "around you are gathered with faith and courage those who consider you the final garrison against the world dictatorship. The alternative is to vote for a person who is manipulated by the deep state, gravely compromised by scandals and corruption, who will do to the United States what Jorge Bergoglio, who is Pope Francis, is doing to the church, and Prime Minister Conte to Italy, President Macron to France, Prime Minister Sanchez to Spain, and so on. The blackmailable nature of Joe Biden, just like that of the prelates of the Vatican's magic circle, will expose him to be used unscrupulously, allowing illegitimate powers to interfere in both domestic politics as well as international balances. It is obvious that those who manipulate him already have someone worse than him ready, with whom they will replace him as soon as the opportunity arises." He closes his letter with the following statement: "Mr. President, you are well aware that in this crucial hour, the United States of America is considered the defending wall against which the war declared by the advocates of globalism has been unleashed. Place your trust in the Lord. Strengthened by the words of the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. "To be an instrument of divine providence is a great responsibility, for which you will certainly receive all the graces of state that you need, since they are being fervently implored for you by the many people who support you with their prayers. With this heavenly hope and the assurance of my prayer for you, for the First Lady, and for your collaborators, with all my heart I send you my blessing. God bless the United States of America." Signed, Carlo Maria Vigano. Now, I read that and wanted to go into detail, Jim, because this is coming from a Catholic talking about his own Pope, who he really slams hard in this. And another article I don't have time to go into, written by another Catholic, where they are saying that Pope Francis is involved in all of this up to his ears. And I believe one reason the globalists have begun to push so hard is because their pope is now in place. This is the person they've wanted in for a long time. He's totally on their side, and they want to try to make this happen very quickly in the next couple of years. And so we'll see what happens, but that's what the intent is.
And Gary, I just was searching the internet even as you were speaking, and in the last day, 2 days, 3 days, I mean, the articles that are coming out about Pope Francis and the Great Reset, and the globalists are cheering Pope Francis for his role in this Great Reset.
Yeah, absolutely. And a few of these articles have been on the Catholic website, LifeSite News, where they themselves have been publishing some of these articles. So this is a very interesting dynamic.
Right.
The first time I've seen it in my lifetime, I believe, where a number of politically conservative Catholics now are finally beginning to speak out against the Pope because they see him for what he is. And so that's a big step, and it's a wake-up call to all of us. And, you know, there are plenty of Protestants in the World Council of Churches, too, allied with the Pope and the World Economic Forum. And so they've done everything they can, the globalists have, to penetrate into religious circles and take control of major religious organizations to be able to move their agenda forward. And right now, all the pieces are there. I mean, they can smell victory. But, you know, the Lord may have other plans, and our election here in this country is not yet over. It's not over till it's over, and so a lot could still happen in the days ahead, and we really need to be praying like never before.
Gary Kaa with us today. Before I move on, Gary, give us your website. I know you're writing. You will soon be releasing another article on this. How is it our listeners can get engaged?
Right. You can go to our website, which is simply garykaa.org. It's my name, garykaah.org, and you can read some of our articles there and listen to some other talk shows I've done recently. But what we would encourage every listener to do is to subscribe to our publication. It's a quarterly. It's usually 16 to 20 pages of some of the top research coming into us from around the world, from some of the top researchers on all of this. And that's also what keeps us going as an organization so that we can keep doing this. So we would appreciate your support in that way. And then take this information and run with it. Multiply. We've got to get it out quickly.
Again, folks, the website, garykaa.org, garykaa, K-A-H, .org. Gary, you talked about the three big crises, COVID, climate change, and global debt. Let's talk here about the COVID here just a bit. I saw an article on townhall.com, Katie Pavlich writing that during a recent speech at the 2020 Shenzhen Forum, famous Chinese sociologist Dr. Li Yi celebrated Wuhan coronavirus and said the disease has been beneficial to China by destroying the United States of America. It turns out China is going to overtake the United States in 2027, he said. It was said that it may be delayed for a year or two, but this year God pulled off a little trick, right? He said in the global economy, China stands out. He continued noting that China is rapidly expanding its military and said the U.S. will not survive as long as we go to work every day, we will drive the U.S. to its death.
Well, a powerful statement, and I think it shows the true intent that's there. And you know, what would we expect differently from a communist regime? I have here an article in front of me. It presents some of the results of a Pew Research Center global research project on government restrictions on religion. They just released it here a few weeks ago, and their findings were from 2018. So this goes back, over a year. But in that year, actions by government officials that impinge on religious beliefs and practices continued to climb, reaching an all-time high since the Pew Research Center began tracking these trends in 2007. And at the top of the list of the worst offenders out of 198 countries that were studied was China. Their persecution of Christians and anyone who might challenge their worldview or their system the least bit, they don't mess around.
We're going to be right back. This is Crosstalk.
This past July marked the 200th anniversary of the birth of Robert Sheffy, an itinerant circuit-riding preacher committed to proclaiming the gospel to the mountain folk in the eastern U.S. To mark this milestone, Unusual Films released a special restored high-definition edition of this powerful film, Sheffy. Through December, VCY is renewing a special offer, making available a combination pack to reach a whole new generation. This pack includes both Blu-ray and DVD and a digital download. Also included, the public showing rights for the church and schools in order to show it publicly. While the normal retail is $19.95, during December, VCY is offering one combo pack for a donation of $15 and each additional combo pack for a donation of just $10 more. You can even obtain 10 combo sets for a donation of just $75. Call 1-800-729-9829. This offer ends December 31st.
Gary Kaye is our guest here today on Crosstalk. Again, his newsletter you can sign up for. There's a subscription fee for it, but you can do so at GaryKaye.org. GaryKaye, K-A-H, .org. Gary was just talking about Christianity being in the crosshairs, and indeed, just today, December 3rd, 2020, we have an article that came out from WND.com. Here's the headline: Secular Democrats urge Biden to pounce on U.S. Christianity. A Democratic Political Action Committee representing secular values issued a sweeping agenda for Joe Biden to reverse many of President Trump's advances for religious liberty and to restore a vision of constitutional secularism. Gary, your response.
Well, the globalists, the socialists, they understand very well that true Christianity has stood in their way. And for the most part, Christians in this country who are well-informed, they are very in favor of the free enterprise system, less government, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all those sorts of things that socialists are against. And so you can figure out who the real socialists are in the Democratic Party by looking at statements like what you just read, Jim. I mean, people that get behind that, they are socialists. And they have hijacked the Democratic Party now, I'd hate to guess, but I'd say well over 80% of the Democratic Party is well in the socialist camp now. It's not the Democratic Party of old. And there are a number of Republicans as well that can't be trusted, but it's a much smaller percentage. The political side of this is just one aspect. They're working on the economic front because they realize without economic force, they're not going to be able to take this agenda much further, especially since more and more Americans are catching on. And one of the biggest signs of where maybe conservatives are at in the country and how they've been awakened, I saw a statistic less than a week ago from the latest survey that 40% of America's population would not take a vaccine if it were to come out right now. And that's way up from where it was a few months ago. So people are becoming more skeptical. They're becoming less trusting of the government, maybe under Biden, wanting to impose a vaccine upon us. And let me just go on a little rabbit trail here, because I've been getting asked this question a lot. People are asking me about, you know, President Trump has been pushing hard for a vaccine and so forth. So what all is going on here? And I would say this: if President Trump stays in, I do not believe he would make the vaccines mandatory. To do so, he would have to do a complete 180 on everything that he has said up to this point. I believe it would be voluntary. If Biden gets in, he and his World Health Organization people that he's going to have in his administration, allied tightly with the World Health Organization, I think they will do everything they can to make it mandatory. And if they can't quite get to that point, they will make life very difficult on anyone who does not take it. And they'll begin with travel. The travel restrictions will be unbelievable. Trying to get out of the United States to go to another country, if you don't have the vaccine under Biden, you can forget it. It's just going to be a matter of time till they implement that. And then they'll start doing other things as well. If you don't have the vaccine, what about getting a life insurance policy? Probably it'll be very difficult or eventually become impossible, because they'll say, well, you're too big of a risk. You might catch the coronavirus and die from it. And so unless you're willing to pay two or three times as much for the policy, maybe then you can get it. And so they will use every avenue to tighten the screws on Christians and conservatives. And it'll happen pretty quickly if Biden gets in.
Folks, what Gary is just saying, he's not just, you know, dreaming these things up. I've got an article before me here. Here's a headline. This is from the Daily Caller. China pushing for a global COVID QR code to track travel, limit exposure to coronavirus. And Gary, what you're saying here about this COVID and vaccinations, and we've got China pushing for a global COVID QR code for citizens and countries around the world to track their travel. We've got the president of China, Xi Jinping, speaking to the G20 leaders at a summit just recently, saying that nations need to harmonize policies to track those infected with the coronavirus, and then give everybody, in essence, a barcode. And then let me just couple this, and I'm going to turn you loose here again. We have the UK vaccine minister, Nadim Zawahiri, says he expects bars, cinemas, restaurants, and sports stadiums to all demand proof of vaccination against COVID-19 before allowing customers to enter their venues. Immunity passports that are registered with a phone app to be allowed to enter a sports stadium or to travel. He went on to explain that the NHS's Track and Trace app, the use of which was implemented as a requirement to enter bars and restaurants, has set the pretext for the vaccine eventually being made mandatory to enter such venues. I'm going to go to one other country. Here we have the Welsh government announcing that people who take the COVID vaccine will get immunization cards, raising the prospect that people could need to prove that they've taken the shot before being allowed to enter venues. This is Wales Health Minister Vaughan Gething confirmed Wednesday, that's yesterday, that people there will receive a credit card size immunization card that states the type of vaccine and the date it was administered. Those that receive the card will be given a credit card size, or that take the vaccine will get a credit card size NHS Wales immunization card that will have the vaccine name, date of immunization, and batch number on each of those doses given handwritten on those. Gary, we've got place after place pushing. We got China, we got the Welsh government, we've got the UK vaccine minister, all pushing for this mandatory vaccination, the tracking of individuals, not be able to travel, not to be able to enter an eating establishment, not to go to a stadium. It is total control that they were seeking to have.
Well, the globalists are pushing hard in those parts of the world that are more liberal and where there isn't as much resistance to these vaccines as there is in the United States. And they're going to try to get those countries on board. And once they have about 10 or 15 of them on board, the others will fall into place quite rapidly. So what we could see is within a year from now, I mean, we've seen how fast things have already moved, right?
Yes.
In 10 months, we've gotten to this point. Within the next year, it could become very difficult to travel to many of the countries in the world unless you have a vaccine. And so that's what they're starting with, because that's the easiest, I think, for them to implement. And so gradually, that will put more pressure on Americans for international business travel or anything else to conform. And then the other thing I want to mention, China is writing a lot of the programs for all of this tracking. So you can bet they'll have things in those programs that they'll be able to spy on us and know every move we're making. And that shouldn't surprise us either in light of what has come out with the Dominion program, with the vaccine and Smartmatic, and probably all your listeners already know about that, so I'm not going to go far on that. But still, the fact that this company, Smartmatic, that has written the program that was used in many of the states for the election. I have the statistics here. Dominion voting systems, which is tied to Smartmatic, controls more than a third of the voting machine market, and their voting systems are used in more than 2,000 jurisdictions in 30 states in the United States. And all of that was put together by a company founded in Venezuela, specifically founded by Hugo Chavez with two of his allies. And Chavez is very close to China. In fact, a lot of the funding going into Venezuela to keep them going right now is coming from China and Iran. And so this thing, I mean, you can't, you could put together a novel about this or any, I mean, it's almost unbelievable. It's bordering on that now, that this is happening under our noses. And what's worse is that the mass media isn't telling us anything about this. These are independent researchers bringing this to light, and certain members of Congress, conservative Republicans, who are bringing this to light. But beyond that, it's as if the rest of the world is mostly on board.
Indeed, Gary, and you're right. The media is not telling us. The mass media is not. And you got social media that has been seeking to block President Trump at virtually every turn. Hundreds of times they have blocked his messages from getting out, but not any for Joe Biden, we understand. And then we have, though, social media wrapping their arms around Joe Biden here. Here's an article that just came out yesterday from New American. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg publicly said that the platform is trying to work with Joe Biden on a joint Facebook-Biden administration push for Americans to get the COVID-19 vaccine. During a live stream interview with Dr. Anthony Fauci, the Facebook founder mentioned a push around authoritative information on vaccines, though he didn't elaborate on what that would entail. But you've got Facebook ready to lock arms with the with Joe Biden if he takes the presidency to push this COVID-19 vaccination, and you know the impact that Facebook is having.
That's right. Well, Facebook, Twitter, Google, all the big tech giants are on board, and they have a lot of influence, obviously, and they're pushing it in every way they can. And you've got a lot of these players also tied in directly to the World Economic Forum, which is getting ready to launch this Great Reset in May. Their meeting, by the way, normally is in January. They pushed it out to May, probably so they can have all their ducks in a row and really launch out quickly at that time. And I've got a piece here to bring this full circle. We started out talking about the Great Reset. In a piece titled, "The Great Reset Must Place Social Justice at Its Center," it says this. These are bullet points. Wealth needs to be more broadly redistributed. Secondly, governments will need to intervene more to ensure better and fairer outcomes from private sector investments. Three, new institutions need to incorporate profound reforms to ensure better racial integration. And then it says, and I quote, "Capitalism as we know it needs to be reformed. The growing discontent at the ideology that has created so much wealth and progress on the one hand, and yet so much inequality and instability on the other hand, is causing increasingly frequent social disruptions across the world. The COVID-19 crisis has laid bare most of these dysfunctions, ranging from uneven access to health care, education, economic opportunities, and social progress, to growing inequality among and within nations and racial and ethnic groups." And then in another World Economic Forum article, we find this, and this is quite telling. And I quote, "To achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. Every country from the United States to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism. There are many reasons to pursue a great reset, but the most urgent is COVID-19, end quote. And this was in an article by Bill Muhlenberg, who's done an excellent job on this. It's called "The Great Reset and the Rise of the Radical Technocrats." And some excellent quotes in there, many of them coming directly from the World Economic Forum. So they're basically telling us now what they're going to do. They feel that confident they're going to be able to pull this off.
Gary Kaz, our guest here today on Crosstalk. And folks, we have so much information here that we need to convey, and is going to continue here into the next segment as well. But I hope you are listening, and I hope you are praying for this nation. Folks, we're going to give some hope as well here at the close of the program. But listen to what John Kerry said, and Gary also mentioned about climate change being one of these crises. He said, "I know Joe Biden believes this. It's not enough just to rejoin," referring to the Paris Climate Agreement for the United States. "It's not enough for us to just do the minimum of what that requires." But he said the Biden administration will focus on every sector of the American economy, including the acceleration of a transformation in the private sector. That is John Kerry talking about what Gary has just described as being the Great Reset. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. This past Friday night, I had the distinct high privilege and honor of interviewing an exclusive interview with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn since he was pardoned by President Trump. In his first interview with WVW Broadcast Network, we got to hear from him for 30 minutes. This was set up with my friend, Lieutenant General McInerney and Mary Fanning. They were also on the line. You can hear the entire interview that was given to us first at WVWTV.com. That's WVWTV.com, as in Worldview Weekend. WVWTV.com. Tweet it, Facebook it, email it, call your friends. Listen to the warning by this Lieutenant General Michael Flynn and Lieutenant General McInerney on how America is under a cyber attack and treason, and that this election has been stolen by Russia, China, and Iran, enemies foreign and domestic. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
Folks, I trust that you are gathering and paying close attention to the information being shared on the program today. And may I encourage you to send links of this program to others. It'll be posted on our website within a couple hours. Take links from this program, send it out to others. If you want CD copies of our program today, we make them available for donation of $6. Sometimes people have been getting multiple copies to get them out in the hands of many. You can do so by calling our switchboard at 800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. Normally, we open phone lines about half hour after we start the program, but because of so much important, vital information we need to get to you today, we're not going to be able to do that because we want you to be informed on these critical issues. Gary, as we're talking about these matters here, we've talked about this election and what is the aftermath of this election, all the lawsuits and everything that's going on. We've talked about in some measure about COVID and what's taking place there and how many are going to try and use this. We see what China's plan for this is, but also the mandatory vaccinations and the tracking. We've talked about climate change and this great reset and to a limited extent, even the global debt going on. These, I want you to tie all together in a knot for us because these are not just isolated issues. They are all interconnected.
That's right. You have largely the same group of people who are pushing the COVID crisis to front and center and using this as a way to bring about globalization, involved in on other fronts of promoting one worldism politically, economically, from a religious standpoint, major foundation money, Rockefeller Foundation money, the Gates Foundation involved in this, the Vatican in the highest circles very much involved in this, Pope Francis. So what people need to realize is there's a political side to this, an economic side, because they realize they can't pull it off without the economics. And then there's the religious side of it, because if the people of the world can't be duped into following this by some of their religious leaders, they'll resist it and won't be able to happen. And so the devil has been working all these fronts for many years. He's a master deceiver. The Bible lets us know that. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that things would become so deceptive in the end times just prior to his return that even the elect might be deceived if that were possible. And so that tells me even some of this deception may come about in the name of Christ. You know, Pope Francis talks about Christ constantly, but yet at the same time he's grouping together all the different world's religious leaders into type of interfaith scenario, which that too is necessary if there's going to be a world government. There's got to be a coming together, a collaboration of the world's religions, and he is at the forefront of that. So a lot of moving parts taking place, but all of it moving us in the same direction to this climax of introducing a global system of government, which they will try to force on those countries that do not go along with it. So there's a lot at stake, and we need to be very discerning as Christian believers and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in what we can do, where we can have maximum impact for the glory of God at this point in time in history.
And Gary, we don't want to leave people living in fear because we talk about these things and it can cause us to be angry or fearful on the inside. But actually, Gary, there is a message of hope in all of this.
That's right. And just a couple of things I want to wrap up with here. First of all, 2 Timothy 1:7, it's just a good reminder. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And if our eternity is secure in Christ, you know, there's only so much that can happen to us in this world. I mean, we're only here for a short time anyway, and then we're in eternity. And praise God for the gift of eternal life through Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. And what the Lord has put on my heart to share here today, Jim, is the way that we pray. I believe that we've got incredibly wicked people right now in very high places in the United States, and some of our most powerful institutions, including the CIA, the FBI, the Justice Department. You've got Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, John Brennan, AOC and the Squad, and others collaborating with them. And a lot of this is just raw evil. So asking God, Lord, how do I pray about these people? And what has come to me is that, first of all, we should pray that these individuals repent and that they turn to Christ, because yes, we've seen even terrorists come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and do a complete turnaround. And we saw what the Lord did with Saul before he became, or after he had his experience, right, and he, yes, became known as Paul, right, and authored so much of the New Testament. God can change lives. So we need to pray, first of all, that these people, even though they're doing great evil, that they would repent, that God would bring them to their knees, that they would see what is really happening, that they would repent. But if that does not happen in God's timing, on God's timetable, which probably will be pretty soon, if this doesn't happen within a period of time, that God would deal with them, that he would deal with them and remove them from power in whatever way he can. And we know God has many ways of dealing with people, of either exposing them where they end up in jail for their criminal acts. In the case of Lot's wife, he turned her into a pillar of salt. Mm. I mean, God can do anything. He is all-powerful. And I believe if enough Americans really get serious about praying regarding these individuals, not just, God, would you change our country? You know, we want to keep our freedoms. Those kinds of general prayers, yes, they express our basic attitudes, but I believe we need to specifically pray even about some of these individuals that we know are on the other side trying to force these things upon the American people. And like I said, pray for them first to repent, but if they don't, that God would deal with them. I don't believe that's a wrong way to pray. David in the Psalms prayed, Lord, contend with those who contend with me. Well, these people, they are contending with all of us, and they're contending with God. They're trying to force an evil, satanic system on all of us where possibly in months, if all this goes through, we might lose our ability to freely worship and speak the truth without going to jail or a camp somewhere. This is very real.
Gary Kah is our guest here today. GaryKah.org is the website. GaryKah.org. You can sign up for his newsletter there. If you'd like to obtain copies of this program, we'll be posted free of charge on our website in a couple hours from now. You can send the links out to others. Or if you'd like a hard copy, we make them available on CD, a donation of six. You can call 800-729-9829. Gary, thank you for your research. Thank you for joining us here today.
You bet. Thank you, Jim.
Gary Kah, our guest today on Crosstalk. And ladies and gentlemen, keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh, we see these things that are happening in the world today, but don't look at the storm around you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You know, even the wind and the seas obey him.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.